It's better over here.
AT&T customers, switching to T-Mobile has never been easier. We'll pay off your existing phone and give you a new one free. All on America's largest 5G network. Visit T-Mobile.com/carrierfreedom to switch today.
Pay off up to $650 via virtual prepaid MasterCard in 15 days. Free phone up to $830 via 24 monthly bill credits plus tax. Qualifying port-in trade-in service on Go5G Next and credit required. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance and required finance agreement is due.
The days are getting shorter, but the lights couldn't be brighter. This time of year, baseball is different, and the whole world is watching. All of the clutch hits, the game-saving grabs, the plays at the plate, and the head-first slides under the tag. That's peak baseball. Experience all of the autumn action. It's postseason season. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
NYYST. This is New York. Yankee Sports Talk. Yep. Swinging for the fences. Knock it out the park. This is New York. Yankee Sports Talk. Woo. Christian and Chris. Of course, SGR. This is New York. Yankee Sports Talk. Call me New York. Yankee Sports Talk. Record, rain, or shine. Grab your shades and umbrellas. NYYST. You're hanging with the fellas.
That was an okay that we got from Mike after he learned Mickey Mantle died.
Okay. Yeah. Okay.
It was an okay. Okay. It wasn't a great okay.
It was an okay. Okay. Okay.
Okay.
Go ahead.
Okay. Well,
okay.
Let's just get this out of the way real quick. Please make sure you are subscribed to the NYYST podcast. We are available on your favorite podcast platform. Please leave us a 5-star rating and review on that platform. Okay. Please make sure you're telling everybody that NYYST is the official Yankee podcast of Odyssey. Make sure you're subscribed to NYY Underground on YouTube. If you're in the chat tonight, please like this video and subscribe. We are dangerously close to 30,000 subscribers here. It's freaking crazy. It's almost like the worse the Yankees play, the more people want to hear what NYYU has to say. But I want the Yankees to start playing better, obviously. But the growth of the channel has been tremendous. And please get your tickets for NYYU Day on September 14th. Who knows? You might be seeing not Juan Soto, because at the rate the Yankees are going, they might have to trade him at the deadline.
Okay, so before we even fuck around, you know, it's funny. We always say this. When you look at our numbers of, like, how much engagement we get, how many downloads we get, how many viewers we get, I always say it's either one end of the spectrum or the other. Either the Yankees have to be playing really well or they have to be playing really poorly, and that's when you see your best numbers, either one of those two. If they're in the middle, like last year, our numbers plateaued the entire season. For us personally, I don't know about across NYYU. But I did notice, because the Yankees were playing so well for a while, I actually did notice this time around that them playing poorly is way better when it comes to numbers. People need, and I guess it makes a lot of sense, right? When they're playing well, all you need is the next game.
Yeah.
All you wait for is the first pitch of the next game. When they're playing poorly, you need that outlet to, like, listen to people vent and kind of get it out.
Yeah, and I also think, you know, NYYU as a channel, I don't want to, like, say it like this, but we have been ahead of this in a way where a lot of us did see this coming, and it's not a matter of hedging our fandom as some, like, big analysis, like, guys that cover the team say that we're hoping that they're bad, and then when they're good, we could enjoy it. But then when they're bad, we can say we told you so. It's not a matter of that. It's just seeing the flaws. And you're right, Chris. The engagement is a lot higher when they're down on a downswing like this, but that's obviously not what we want. We don't want that.
No.
We want to see this team win ball games, but the way it's currently constructed, it's just not quite optimal right now.
Last episode, we spent a good amount of time on Aaron Boone, and we said that he should have went after. They got swept by Cincinnati, and then the Yankees came out and gave away a game on Friday night. Then they exploded for 14 runs thanks to Ben Rice on Saturday, and then they couldn't find a way to score a run on Sunday night. But I just want to read some numbers off here. Ah, shit, I lost it again. I had it up and then I lost it.
Some big numbers here.
Here we go. So Aaron Boone has been manager of the Yankees since 2018, right? So listen to this. In 2018, the Yankees were 50-22 and then went on an 18-19 stretch. In the COVID season, they started 16-6, then went 5-15. 2021, they were 28-19 and then won 23-28. 2022, remember that one, 61-23 and then won 18-31. Last year, they were 36-25 and then went 26-43. And then this year, they were 49-21 and now have gone on a 6-16 stretch. This is a hallmark of Aaron Boone teams. They get off to these great starts, and then they just crater for some reason. I don't know if you want it. I would have to go back and look. I don't even think it's competition mainly. I just think that this is a manager that when things are going wrong, he cannot right the ship. Okay. And I don't want to sit here and get overly emotional about it because I'm tired of getting overly emotional about Aaron Boone, okay? The guy's going to be here to the end of the year. He's probably going to be here for the next 3 years. And it's
3 years?
Oh, you don't think so?
No. No.
I hope so. I pray to God if they don't win the World Series this year, he's not back next year. But would you feel confident in saying that it's 100% certainty if they don't win the World Series this year, he's not coming back? You can't say that. The way this organization has been run, the fact he's been here 7 years already.
But isn't his contract up after this year?
Right. He's a free agent at the end of the year. That's why I think this is the perfect time to make a move like that. The Yankees are not committed to him past this year. So if you want to fire, we talked about this last night, you want to fire him, this is the time to go ahead and do that. And what's the worst that's going to happen? The team still sucks? Great. Aaron Boone is not coming back anyway. But, you know, the Yankees right the ship, and I don't know, what do you consider righting the ship? Playing 500 ball from here on out, getting a wild card spot, winning a round in the playoffs? Is that enough to bring him back? Not in our eyes, obviously, but Brian Cashman's got 2 more years on his contract. Is he, knowing what we've kind of found out that this is probably it for Cashman, does he want another manager? I mean, does he want to just ride out the rest of his time here with Aaron Boone?
I mean, if you really think about it, Cashman really doesn't have much to lose either. If he wants to say maybe, for my final 2 years, maybe I can steal another World Series, but we need another guy leading the team.
and it doesn't have to be, sorry to cut you off, Chris, but it doesn't even have to be a guy outside of the organization. The plan might be that Brad Ausmus just comes in and takes over the role next year because he's
in the organization right now. Someone who would take a 2-year deal until Cashman's done and that's it. But look, I think sitting here and discussing when Boone's going to get fired or when he should get fired we've exhausted it at this point. I think everyone knows who listens to the show, how we feel about it. What bothers me is it sucks being the people who kind of pioneered the narrative of Boone's not the issue. It starts with Cashman. We get it. But in the same breath, you can't sit there and say that Boone is a net positive in any way. Like, guys, we're the, we've been the people for 3 years saying Boone, firing Boone doesn't solve all your problems. It starts with Cashman. We get it. You don't have to tell us that. But at this point, Cashman's not going anywhere, right? Maybe in a couple years, maybe we'll get lucky and he finally moves on. But to sit here and not be able to see, to comprehend that Boone certainly isn't helping, that firing him can only go one way. It may stay the same. Like, what I'm saying is it can't make them worse at this point.
Yeah, I mean, how much worse can the Yankees get at this point? They're 6-16 in their last 22 games. They were 28 games over 500 back on June 13th, if I got the date correct, the day that the Clay Holmes blew that game in Kansas City. They've gone 6-16. And the, here's what I want to say here. We all know, and I'm tired, and look, again, I'm not going to yell and scream tonight because I don't have it in me. This team has kicked me in the gut for the last 3 weeks here, and then this week, a 1-5 homestand is just despicable for a team that thinks that they can win a World Series, okay? And, you know, I had Reds fans, like, really? Reds fans? On TikTok or wherever, Twitter, wherever they were coming out and said, oh, well, we're healthy now, so we're better than our record. Fuck you, dude. You're still not as good as the Yankees. You're still not a team that should come into Yankee Stadium and sweep the Yankees. That's more about the Yankees than it is the Reds. That's just disgusting that happened to the Yankees. And then, you know, Friday night, let's take a look at Friday night here, okay? Home Nestor. Great. This is what the guy does. He pitches great at home. And then we can go back to the play, the double play, right? Everybody wants to look at the double play. You say, oh, if Volpe would have just ran hard, if DJ LeMahieu wasn't an idiot and would have got, what did I say in Toronto when Aaron Judge ran backwards and allowed Juan Soto to score?
That he'd be one of the only people on this team that would actually be smart enough to do it.
Yeah, and what happened the next opportunity a play like that arose?
DJ LeMahieu, who I thought had a high baseball IQ, make any arguments for himself.
And then here's the problem, right? This is the excuses. Anthony Volpe thought the ball went foul. Bro, until you see the umpire throw up his fucking hand, you have to run.
Run. What's the worst that happens?
Unless you're Giancarlo Stanton, nothing, okay? You go back to third base. You're 22 years old, bro. I ran 3 miles in the fucking heat yesterday. I'm sure you can get your ass back to third base and be okay, all right? I'm not bragging. I'm just saying I'm an old man. Right. You're a young kid. You're a professional athlete. I'm sure you could have handled yourself.
That's the first thing they teach you in sports. Like, don't stop until the play is dead. They'll let you know when it's dead, but you go all out until you know for sure.
On that play alone, it's just a microcosm of the Yankees under Aaron Boone. You have two guys. Now, last episode, we sat here and we talked about how I didn't think Anthony Volpe's baseball IQ was that high, or at least he wasn't showing it to be that high. And then he turns around and does that. And then a guy in DJ LeMahieu, who you expect to be smarter than that, just gives himself up. Watch the play, dude.
Yeah, it was really bad.
There's two things that play right there. Volpe's a dumbass for not running hard all the way. But also, LeMahieu's stupid because he's not sitting there watching the play at all. Get yourself in a rundown until Volpe crosses the plate. And then if you want to give yourself up. But make sure the run scores there.
Right.
And everybody's like, oh, well, if Volpe would have did this. The fact of the matter is this. The Boston Red Sox handed the Yankees 3 runs. The Yankees took a lead into the 9th inning on Friday night, and Clay Holmes puked all over himself on the mound again.
They were down to the final strike.
And all we've heard all weekend was Matz's
Yoshida.
Matt Suzuki. I'm having flashbacks here. Yeah. Yoshida can't hit the ball out. They're concerned about his power in Boston.
Not here in New York.
Yeah. Let him face Clay Holmes a few more times. And then this is like the ultimate insult to Yankee fans. He makes the fucking All-Star team on Sunday.
Yeah.
What? Even he didn't think he was making the All-Star team. He said that if I'm
he said he was surprised.
Yeah, that he had a vacation planned. Please don't.
He could just push it back to October.
Do us all a favor.
Yeah, true.
Go on that vacation and don't come back.
No, dude, don't you remember? Don't you remember when NYYST 2.5 months ago raised some concerns and we said, you know, Holmes is a good reliever, but he's just not a closer. Yeah, he might have a zero ERA, but I'm telling you guys,
look at his numbers.
He throws to too much contact. He doesn't throw enough strikes. Remember? And then all the big WOBA and ERA plus guys and all these guys said we were so dumb. Right? But now it's like we're almost not tough enough on Clay Holmes compared to everyone else on the internet. And, you know, I'm real sick of it. And I want to just, so you started talking about Friday. Did you want to get beyond that? It sounded like you were trying to go through like a little bit of a timeline of the weekend. Cause I do want to talk about one player and it's not Clay Holmes because I know Clay Holmes.
Positively or negatively?
Very negatively.
Well, who is it?
It's Anthony Volpe.
Go ahead.
I know we were just talking about him, but I just want to go a little bit deeper. I'm extremely concerned at this point. I love the guy. I think he's a phenomenal defender. I really do. Some of the plays he makes, and like, yeah, he makes his errors here and there, and that'll get cleaned up. But some of the plays he makes are just unbelievable.
No, he's a legit gold glove shortstop.
He is a legit gold glove shortstop. But man, am I starting to get very concerned that this kid doesn't have what it takes to be an MLB hitter. And that's not good. The Yankees need this kid to be a superstar at the plate.
Well, that's the difference. Can he be a major league? Can he hit enough to stay in the lineup with his glove? Yeah, he could. I mean, even
but not for what this team relies on.
You're absolutely. I mean, the Yankees, this was their plan. This was their future here. This is what they wanted to do. This is why they stayed out of the free agent market. And it's worrisome that he is reverting back to old bad habits and seemingly at times even getting worse. We talked about it last episode about how he's pulling outside pitches, swinging at balls, you know, and the only situation where, you know, you can't get Aaron Judge up to the plate is if you hit a double play and he's swinging at balls after the closer's getting wild there. I mean, it's frustrating. And then he does something like that. And then, you know, the excuse machine starts with, oh, I thought the ball was foul.
Right. And that concerns me the most because when the top down narrative of the organization is very excuse ridden, and you know, it's sort of like a forgive me attitude, it becomes contagious. And you have to consider the fact that these guys are around each other every single day for 6 months. And there's that old saying, you're a product of your environment. And if that's the environment that you are conducting, then it's going to rub off on your players. And I hope that's not the case. I hope he's, you know, he's a guy that can handle himself, I think. But when your environment is coming up with reasons for why you're not having success, you're going to push that same narrative.
And I want to bring this up because I think it's important to kind of make this parallel because we've done it with Jeter and Judge over the past couple of weeks. And I saw, and Pete, I can't believe you did this to us, dude. Really, that you had to show us this tweet of somebody that was calling into question Joe Torre's managerial skills because Aaron Boone has a higher winning percentage. I'm not saying Pete did this. Pete showed us a tweet of somebody that did this, that was calling into question Torre's skills as the manager because Boone has a higher winning percentage.
Mm.
Let me say this here. I love Joe Torre. Okay. I don't think anybody that grew up or watched that era of Yankee baseball can have anything but love for Joe Torre. But we said it on this show in the past, and it's true. Joe Torre was not a great manager in the sense of he was not the greatest strategist. That's what Don Zimmer was for. This is what we talked about with Aaron Judge. You know, him and Jeter as captain is very similar, but he doesn't have the Jorge Posada to go next.
Right.
You know, Joe Torre had Don Zimmer. Has Aaron Boone ever had a Don Zimmer? No, I don't think he had. He has, okay? The problem becomes now is that what Joe Torre did is Joe Torre didn't stand for excuses. He didn't stand for lackadaisical play. He held his players to a standard. And that's the thing that Aaron Boone is not doing. And you can say that's what Brian Cashman wants. This is okay. Listen, we all understand that Brian Cashman is the puppeteer here. He's the one pulling the strings on what goes on in the dugout. But the fact of the matter is that you can have somebody in that dugout that agrees with your organizational philosophy of how you want things to go in terms of analytics and all that other garbage, but still hold the players to a standard. You know, we didn't talk about this, but you remember it was on the 4th of July when they're getting the shit kicked out of them by Cincinnati in the ninth inning, and Trent Grisham's just, you know, picking his ass or whatever the hell he's doing, and that ball rolls up his arm because he's jerking around, and they let him get an extra base there. And Boone's like, well, that's just the way he plays. No, that's not the way you play as a New York Yankee. Down 8-1, up 8-1, tied in the ninth. It doesn't matter. Your head's got to be on at all times. That is unacceptable, okay? And I understand that he's a really good center fielder. I hate the way he fucking catches balls. I really do. It irks me to no end about he catches them at the friggin' lowest point possible. He looks lazy out there half the time. And Boone's like, well, that's just mixed the game. Great. Okay, doesn't matter. He took a play off there, and luckily because it scored a game, and then, you know, they ended up not scoring, but he could have cost the Yankees dearly in terms of runs there. And what happens if it happens in the ninth inning when the Yankees are up a run and they allow the go-ahead run to get into scoring position there? Then what happens? Are you still going to be so calm and say, well, that's just the way he plays? No. I would have cut him at that right there to make a statement. Somebody has to. I need a pound of flesh now, okay? You need to give me something to show that you care about winning as much as we all do here. Trent Grisham is an expendable player, okay? Get rid of him after he pulls something like that. Aaron Boone is an expendable manager. So after you go 6-16, go from 28 up, first place in the division, to 18 up over 22 game span, where you're now 18 up, and the Boston Red Sox, who are in third place, are closer to you than you are to the Orioles. Something has to give at this point. You can't just sit there and wait for the team to start playing better. Okay, there is no accountability on this team because Aaron Boone can sit there and say anything that he wants. He told us he controls the lineup card. He still plays Trent Grisham every single day. You can't cut him. You don't have that in your power pocket there. You can't fire. Okay, fine. Oswaldo Cabrera is playing left field from now on. I don't like it. I hate Oswaldo Cabrera in left field, but I'm playing him there. Judge is back in center field. You're on the bench. We're done with this bullshit. Is that too much to ask for? Holding players accountable for when they do that shit? You bench Gleyber Torres for 2 games. It should have been longer.
So I just want to take it a step further. Let's go back to Stroman flipping out on Gleyber, right? We talked about how Judge is the captain, and he's the leader, and he's the friend, and he doesn't have the enemy. And I said a few weeks ago, Boone has to be that enemy. So let's just try to peel back the curtain a little more than people normally would. And let's go back to Stroman flipping out on Gleyber Torres. Why is he flipping out on Gleyber Torres? Because Stroman's clearly a guy who shows up to every day that he's going to play. He's extremely intense. He works very hard. And I'm not knocking anyone's work ethic. I think Glaber works hard, whatever. But when you have a guy as intense as Marcus Stroman and some of these other guys out there, and you start to have lackadaisical play, there's frustrations that build within the clubhouse. Then you have Trent Grisham lollygagging to a ball. Then you have DJ LeMahieu making a stupid play on the bases. Then you have Volpe thinking it's a foul ball and holding up. If there's no enemy in that clubhouse, who becomes the enemy? The enemy becomes the people who are just continually stepping onto that field with their heads up their asses, and it causes tension. Like, if I'm Marcus Stroman right now, if I'm Juan Soto right now, I'm pissed off.
Yeah, and it causes tension at the wrong times, too.
Yes.
And your anger is misdirected.
Yeah, you know, if I'm sitting there like, yeah, we're all buddy-buddy, Trent, we love you, but really, in the back of my mind, I'm going, this fucking guy, I'm sweating my balls off here. I want to win. I'm sick of losing, and this guy's fucking jogging to a baseball and letting an easy single turn into a double while I'm pitching my ass off.
Yeah.
Or, you know, I'm telling you, when you don't have an enemy, the enemy starts to manifest itself within the team in the clubhouse.
Yeah. So how'd you put it, Christian? You said you wanted a pound of flesh, right?
Yeah. I want a pound of flesh.
And Grisham right is the flesh.
I want Boone gone, but if you're not going to do
sure.
that, you got to
so get last Boone. Year, who was the pound of flesh?
Who was it?
Was it Donaldson?
No, it was the hitting coach, Dylan Lawson.
Right.
And what was the date that they fired Dylan Lawson?
Wasn't it right before the All-Star break?
Tomorrow.
Is
July
it?
9th. So today would have been the day that they got you, that you should have gotten your pound of flesh.
Wow.
Well, they could have. I mean, they could have really just done something after the game last night.
Yeah,
I don't
maybe.
Know.
We do have a super chat, fellas, from our boy, Mustache Griffey.
Okay.
Love the show and no idea how Holmes got selected to the All-Star game. Yeah, neither do we.
You know, it's wild that, just to touch on that real quick, it's wild that they basically ignored the last month of Clay Holmes' season and to put him on the All-Star team, because there's no way that you watch Clay Holmes pitch over the stretch here and think that he's an All-Star. But they used that last three or four starts against Luis Gil.
Yeah, I was just thinking that. How is he an All-Star and not Gil?
Starter versus reliever, but I mean, as Yankee fans, we're sitting here saying and honestly, doesn't Luke Weaver deserve to be an All-Star more than Clay
way
Holmes
more.
Does? Okay.
Way more.
But here's the point, right? Aaron Boone fosters this environment in the clubhouse. Okay. This is what he does. You can be what Cashman wants, but also be tougher on your players here. You can do that. You can do these two things, and I completely believe that that can happen.
Well, hold on. Let me just cut you off real quick. And I'm just playing devil's advocate with you here, because clearly neither of us know this. But to be fair here, didn't Girardi kind of try that, and that's what got him kicked out? Like, Girardi was still a binder boy and stats boy and lefty-righty matchups and all of that.
He was.
But
he,
also,
drove you crazy with that.
But also, isn't part of what got him kicked out here was that he was trying to develop his own culture and held guys more accountable, and some people didn't like it, and maybe his personality got a little too big for Cashman's liking?
Well, there's a fine line between it, and you have to also understand that Girardi was grading on Cashman for 10 years at that point.
So you have to be you still have to stay a cuck to cash, but you can still hold your own clubhouse.
I think the Girardi thing is an interesting time frame of Yankee history here, because he was in the booth this weekend, so everybody sees him and they're putting their graduation goggles on for him and say, oh, we need him back. I don't want Joe Girardi back in the clubhouse.
No.
No. That ship has sailed a long time ago. I don't want Joe Girardi back. What Joe Girardi deserves credit for more than any, more than even winning the World Series, is how he handled this transition period in Yankee history. Is that the Yankees gave Joe Girardi an impossible task of ushering out the remaining dynasty members and being the bridge to this next era of Yankee baseball, which you have to be fair about. That was an extremely hard thing to do. He got into it with Jorge Posada. He had to oversee the retirement of Jeter. He had to oversee the retirement of Mariano Rivera. Be stuck with some really fucking pathetic teams that never finished under 500. And then when they were ready to win again, he got shown the door.
Right. He was almost got the Buck Showalter treatment towards the end.
So you have to respect the era that Joe Girardi, just the way that Joe Girardi did the job that he did. But that doesn't mean I want to see him do it again.
At least he could broadcast games. I can't even get on the air. Right. That ain't fair.
And that's and that's the problem, too, is that this is the point that I was trying to make over the weekend when I made numerous tweets, videos about firing Aaron Boone. We're not assholes. We're assholes, but we're not assholes about this, right?
Sure.
It's not like the Yankees went on a losing streak in 2018 and we started calling for him to get fired.
No, he had his back.
That's stupid. You got to give the guy time to develop his own culture and to set a track record of who he is as manager, right? The difference is that Aaron Boone has been here for 7 years now.
With no hardware.
What exactly do people think is going to change in his personality?
You got to even take it a step further, Christian. I think his personality was better when he first started. I think it's just completely gotten worse each year.
I think absolutely he's gotten worse after each year. That's why we no longer defend him. And what was he saying? It was almost a carbon copy of what he was saying last year. I forget what he said yesterday. It's right there.
It's right in front of us.
It's right in front of us. It's the repeat phrase of the year. It's back.
Great. It's right in front of you. It's been right in front of you for 3 weeks now. You have not been able to fix the team. I don't know what it is with him. I read it at the beginning of the show. This is a trademark of Aaron Boone teams. Start hot and just right into the ground. Except for, I guess the only reason that 2019 wasn't on the list was the only year that they must have played pretty evenly throughout the entire course of the year, where there wasn't a hot start and then a crater, where they were just pretty consistent throughout the course of the year. But doesn't that say something about Aaron Boone as the manager? Is that he's been given talented teams. We can scream and yell about roster construction all we want. And yeah, we've had our problems with Brian Cashman and the players that he's put on this ball club. But doesn't that say something about the talent that Aaron Boone is given? That there are good. These are good teams. Championship caliber? Okay, that's a different discussion. But he has talented teams. He has teams that win ball games. What he doesn't have is teams that can face adversity. And that is on him. That is an Aaron Boone problem.
I've been saying it for how many weeks now, man? I'm actually sick of saying it. I hate hearing myself say it because I hate the phrase and I hate how I say it, but I have to keep saying it. This is a leadership problem. This is not a talent problem. I know guys are hurt, but guys, I'm not sitting here saying this team should be as good as it was when Stanton was in it being hot, or when Rizzo would just be a name in the lineup that would kind of scare pitchers here and there. I'm not saying they should be as good as that. All I'm saying is, should they be 6-16 after how good they were?
It's like even playing under 500 in this stretch, is 10-12, 9-13 asking too much for the Yankees out of the Yankees over the course of the stretch? Look, dude, no one was expecting them to stay at that peak that they were at. But this is crazy, man, that not only do they not score runs, they don't pitch well, they don't play fundamental baseball. If they play fundamental baseball, they might have picked up another win or two. This is just a complete failure on every level right now with this team.
Yeah, and you talk about a leadership thing, Chris, and the adversity that this team might be facing. Look at the Houston Astros.
That team's rotation was decimated, and look at where they are right now in the standings. We do have a couple of super chats. Can I read both of them here?
Yeah.
All right, we got from our boy Ra.
Ra.
The reason that the Yankees' recent struggles bothers us so much is that this Boston series is a huge reminder that this team could have been knocked out of the ALDS if this was the first round of the playoffs. Yeah, I mean, look, that's definitely a fair point. That is a team that a type of series they lose. And then we have Kyle Millay, 82-80. Fire Boone chance should be going around the stadium. We need to make some trades right now. We can't wait until the deadline.
Yeah, we talked about that. What's available right now?
Right. Well, yeah, there's not a whole lot.
Well, so I just want to stick because this will tie into that second super chat there. Okay, so clearly a leadership problem. And for me, it's like it's a long season. You know, you can keep going back to like even 2022 after they.
Brian, are you there?
Yeah, I'm here. He's clunking over there.
He's a clunker.
He's a little clunk, dude.
He clunked.
We were at the game last night, man, and it was just we still had a great, great time. But man, what a just embarrassment. That for the first six innings of that game took an hour. I think fucking Cutter Crawford had 10 balls thrown.
I was gonna say he probably threw 10 pitches total in that time period.
Unbelievable.
I was surprised they took him out of the game because
we weren't sure why they did that. And I was really against Heel coming back out there. Chris countered with the point of have him come back out there batter to batter, maybe get an out and then pull him to the crowd and have him have that, you know, upbeat crowd reaction after a couple of bad starts in a row. They let him come back out. He gets the first out and then, you know, gives up the, what was that? That was the home run to Devers at that point, right? Yeah. And at that point, it's like, man, why are you keeping him at that point against Devers? Get him out of that game.
The reason why I would not have brought Heel back out for the sixth inning is because of what he did at the seventh is because of what he did at the end of the sixth. I think he thought he was done. And you could see that in the way he attacked that hitter, especially with that fastball and that at bat.
Yeah.
And then they brought him back out there. But I want to touch on Heel a little bit deeper in a few minutes here, but
Chris, you clunked out in the middle of that point you were making.
Is he still clunked?
Yeah, I know. My internet's like going in and out right now.
Are you still clunked?
Can you hear me?
Yeah, we hear you.
I'm a little fucking clunked. My brain is clunked after watching this team. But my point I was trying to make was it's such a long season, and you can go back to 2022 and think about how great this team was and how good you felt. And then how it just kind of imploded. And the same thing's happening this year now.
That's what I'm saying. Like, is it
it's a long season, man.
Is it too much to ask them to play even under 500 ball, but win nine or 10 of these games in this 22 game stretch? Is that a lot to ask of this team? Think of where they'd be. Think of where they'd be if they even had three more wins in this stretch.
In a 162 game season, it's really difficult and unfair for to ask a team to be dominant all year long. You're going to have your lulls, and that's when you're truly tested. I mean, those are the times when you prove what kind of team you are, what you're made of. And year after year, Aaron Boone's team proved that they're a pile. You want to talk about, like, it's right in front of us? Guess what? Me and SGR were at the game last night. It was all right in front of us, too. And guess what we saw right in front of us? A pile of dog shit. That's what we saw. So whatever's right in front of you isn't good. Stop telling me what's right in front of you. It's not good. It's a fucking, as my boy Pete put it last night, what's right in front of them? A fucking brick wall, it seems like.
Yeah, and they don't have the mental or testicular fortitude to run through that brick wall. I've been using this analogy because it just works. Like, they get punched in the mouth, hit the canvas, and they wait for the 10 count. That's exactly what happens to the Yankees. I would love for them to, I just want to see them get up off the fucking mat and throw a haymaker just one time in Aaron Boone's tenure here, get up and swing. And they had that opportunity yesterday, and they didn't do it, man. Let's touch on Saturday real quick. Ben Rice, what a fucking game. What a performance, man.
Uncle Honestly, Ben.
What a performance from Ben Rice, dude. That's almost unbelievable that he's the only Yankee rookie to have three home runs in a game. It's unfathomable. But, you know, to be fair, okay, because people say I don't rip certain players, I thought Gerrit Cole was horrible on Saturday. I thought he was terrible. I thought that was a terrible outing from Gerrit Cole on Saturday. Because I thought we were finally at the point that we can start to expect Gerrit Cole to be Gerrit Cole. And he wasn't. And you can say, and I hate the, I just can't stand the soft contact argument. I understand that a couple of runs scored on some dinks, but after Devers gets him for the RBI single, he walks the next batter on four pitches, not even close. That's where the inning gets away from him. You have to be fair, man. I expect more out of Gerrit Cole than what we got on Saturday. He has to be better than that now. The gloves are off. He's back. He is at a point now in this rehab that he is back to being able to expect him to be Gerrit Cole. This isn't the Mets start where it's like, okay, this is the second start back. Got to temper expectations here. After what he did in Toronto, you should expect Gerrit Cole on the mound. And yeah, and then fucking Devers eats his lunch again. I don't know what it is with him and Devers. I don't know what it is with Devers and the Yankees, because that second home run yesterday, that ball was off the fucking plate. That is exactly where Tonkin and the Yankees wanted to throw that, and he destroys it.
It was in the other batter's box, and he pulled it.
It's just insane what Devers does to the Yankees.
Yeah, what he does to Gerrit Cole, 14 for 41, 8 home runs, 19 RBIs, and 48 plate appearances in both regular season and playoff games.
But the Yankees, I thought that was a turn. If I'm trying to convince myself of these turning point moments, these instances, these games of when it's finally going to end and we're going to turn the corner, as Aaron Boone likes to say. They blew two leads with Gerrit Cole on the mound. Gerrit Cole got Gerrit Cole pitched like shit on Saturday. Okay. And we lost Chris again.
Ah, shit. Keep going.
He pitched like shit on Saturday. Okay. The location is still not there. You want to say that he's still knocking off rust? Fine. But for me, I'm past letting him knock off rust now. The location is still not there, and that's why he's getting himself into trouble. But with Gerrit Cole on the mound on a four-game losing streak, blowing two leads, Gerrit Cole pitching like shit, and the Yankees got up and they punched back in a big way. And now you're saying to yourself, if there's ever going to be a turning point, this is it. They broke the losing streak. They survived a bad start from Gerrit Cole. They blew out the Red Sox. And then it's just like, the baseball gods are just fucking toying with us at this point, because Aaron Judge has hit four other balls 110 miles an hour with a 35 degree launch angle, and they're this season, and they've all been home runs. Yesterday it was a fly out to the
wall. Yeah, something in the air at the stadium last night, because that ball looked so fucking gone off
and then
the bat.
Not
by that point in the game.
And then the ball Cabrera hit, I had no clue how that ball stayed in the ballpark.
Mm-hmm.
I thought that was long gone.
Yeah. Nope.
So we lost them again.
Okay. Yeah, there we go. Now you just see the top of my head.
So I was saying in our NYYU chat, like, I'm sitting here thinking of trying to say, like, positive, to not be negative the entire time. Okay.
We have Pete's fun and games.
Okay.
Little intermission break.
What could you say positively? Okay, well, Ben Rice had a three home run game. Okay, so that's great.
Okay.
And I think, you know, you have to be encouraged by Luis Hill's start yesterday. You have to be. He was consistently at 99 yesterday.
Yeah.
And he was dotting it, too.
Dots. Dipping dots.
And it's unfortunate that Chris isn't here, because he would debate me and tell me that I'm wrong, but he's wrong, okay? He was clearly fatigued. Luis Hill was clearly fatigued coming into this start. The Yankees tinkered with his pitch selection. and McCann, they did a few different things to try to get him past whatever was bothering him.
Do you want me to just pretend to be Chris
if you
right
want
now?
To? Okay.
He's throwing 98. He's not fatigued. Which I do, I guess in a way I do see, but then you look at the life of the fastball. That's where there was a difference. Maybe it didn't have that zip that it had. It's like a flatter 98.
And I completely disagree with him coming out for the seventh inning because of the way he ended the sixth. That was a guy that thought he was done. And Boone's got to read the room on that point. And I get it. He was only at 80 something pitches, but he's also a guy that at this stage of the season, you got more out of him than you could have hoped for. Okay. That's number one. Number two, he's been getting knocked around because he's hit a wall here at that point. Why push it? You know,
yeah.
I didn't see the sense in pushing it. And, you know, Devers got him, and still, even at that point, that's fine. He gives a 1-6 3. That's not a big deal. It's just the fact that the Yankees can't score, you know?
No, it's still a great line at the end of the day. As I said, since I'm taking Chris's role here, I might as well take his phrases. But when you're coming off the kind of starts that he was having, you kind of just, you take the six shutout innings and you put it in the bank. You don't go out there and try to get more just because of his pitch count. I get it. But then to have him face Devers just didn't make sense to me. The only reason I actually agreed, because when I said I hope he's done after this inning, and he said he should come back out so he can get taken out of the game and the crowd could roar for him. And I actually agreed with that.
Yeah, but then what happens there? In a 0-0 right. game, you're playing with fire because
exactly.
he doesn't get the roar that he probably should have deserved because no. Everybody's fucking Devers again, like, and that's all they're thinking about. But here's why he perfect time to pull him at 6-2. Okay, granted, Weaver and Tonkin both gave up solo home runs, but those are your two best relievers. You didn't use them Saturday, and you're off today. They're ready to go. You could have easily gotten through the seventh, eighth, and ninth without even bringing Clay Holmes in if you wanted to.
Absolutely.
Would Weaver and Tonkin rest it?
No, you didn't need that. You wouldn't have needed Holmes. You put the reliever in a fresh inning. You don't want him to come in necessarily with runners on. It's like, yeah, obviously that's a role for a reliever, but the opportunity was there for Weaver to go the seventh and the eighth and then figure it out from there. And hopefully you score a couple of runs at that point. But
you can call me crazy, dude. I trust Tonkin way more than Clay Holmes.
Oh, shit.
What? Something happened? I'm losing.
Yeah, dude, now I'm going.
Oh, you're getting wonked.
Oh, no, bro. Chris is rubbing off on me, bro. It's that brotherly contagion, dude.
Yeah, I mean, so he's not here, but we've got to continue. We got to continue the show and bring it to its conclusion here. Let me bring up this poll here that I ran.
All right, yeah, bring up the poll. We got Brian Cashman here. Yeah, I'm not really happy with you know how the season's playing out right now, but it's you know, just a rough stretch. We're gonna be just fine.
So the Yankees, despite the 6-16 stretch, are still the top wild card team in the American League. But let's talk about this real quick. Is it time to worry? Are they going to miss the postseason? Now, 58% of the fans voted that there will still be October baseball, but that's not a convincing.
What was the numbers there, bud?
58 say they'll still make the postseason.
Damn, and you do that poll like 3 weeks ago, and it's fucking probably 85%.
If anybody voted no 3 weeks ago, then you're just
right. An idiot. Yeah, then 99% you go with.
Are you worried that this team's not going to the postseason with the way that they played? I mean, I didn't think even on Thursday that it was worth having the conversation, but after this weekend, I don't know anymore. I think if you have legitimate concerns about it, I can't disagree with you. I'll say this. I don't agree with you in the sense that I don't think that they'll miss the postseason, but I'm not going to passionately fight you on it. How's that sound?
Sure. I mean,
the reason why it is worrying is because of the precedent that this team has set over the last couple of years, that once they deal with this adversity, they can't resolve it. And it happens fast, because you look at, again, to reference the Astros, they're only two games behind now in their division after such a terrible, terrible start. So teams will catch up to you. Teams will surpass you if you let them.
Well, look at Boston. Boston's picked up 10 games on the Yankees during this stretch, because I think they have the exact opposite record. I think they're 16-6 during this stretch.
There you go. Now, the good thing is that the All-Star break's coming up. So if they can, who do they have next? Is it Tampa next, then Baltimore? That's the final two series. If you can finish the first half here, the designated first half, 500 or better, then I'm maybe not worrying as much. But if you look like shit in your final two series going into the break, then the worrying is definitely going to take it to another gear for me.
Look, if you want to have any good feeling about the Yankees coming post All-Star break, they have to go 4-2 at minimum here, win both of these series, because now this is your third series with Baltimore. You can't legitimately feel like you're a threat to them if you lose this series. But we have a show in between, so we'll talk about Baltimore when we get there. But I'm just saying, you're going on the road now. You thought you were coming home. Now you're going. I don't know anymore. That's why, I hate coming on here and being wishy-washy in the sense of like it's kind of low energy. But I just don't know anymore. I don't know what to say. Aaron Boone's got to get fired. They're not going to do it. They need to hold players accountable. They don't do it. It's frustrating. And every night you're going to sit there and watch the game and hope that this is the night. Like I said on Saturday, I'm sitting here. This is it. This is the turning. I think I tweeted. I said, what you like so much about this game is they got up off the mat. They swung back for once. And then what happened? They didn't score. They couldn't put anything together. And it's not even Cutter Crawford was great on Sunday. Okay, you want to give him all the credit in the world. Mm-hmm. The guy had 40 pitches in the sixth inning or whatever it was. That's disgusting.
Ridiculous.
That's just a team that's looking to get the game over with. That's just not winning baseball. And if you told me that you were 5-0 on the homestand to that point, and it's a late night and you got to catch a flight, okay. But come on, man. I need a better effort than that. When you have a series win in front of you, you haven't won back-to-back games since June 11th and 12th, think it is. It's July 8th, 7th now. Last night was July 7th. You got an entire month without winning back-to-back games. It's right in front of you. And you have guys out there just, okay, let's catch the plane.
And think about the term, it's right in front of us. Think of how much of an excuse that phrase is. It's like you can't take the accountability that you dug this hole. And you're just going to wait for tomorrow to where it's just going to all of a sudden it's okay. We're here. It's no longer in front of us. We're here. It's not going to work that way. You got to fucking get some fuel going in this fire.
That's why I said, I need my pound of flesh, man.
His pound of flesh.
DFAing Trent Grisham after that play on Thursday would have been a nice message to the team. But this team was not going to wake up as long as Aaron Boone is the manager. He's going to put him to fucking sleep.
Now, speaking of Aaron Boone, we do have a super chat from Slim Lewis. Okay. I think Boone is a puppet. The lineups and general strategy come from the GM. Firing Boone might help, but ultimately Cashman needs to go too.
I don't know how much further we can go into that.
Yeah, no, look, it's top down. It's top down. There's clearly a narrative that this team likes to promote and push in terms of when they're facing adversity, and it is not the Yankee way. It is a team that has become like every other team, and that is not the Yankee way.
Look, I'll tell you this right now. As much as everybody wants Brian Cashman fired, and look, I want him fired. I would love to see him go too.
Right.
You don't fire your general manager 2 weeks from the trade deadline.
No. Right. Great point. Yeah, no.
You cannot fire your general. If you want this team to make improvements to get them to the postseason, you can't fire your GM 2 weeks from the trade deadline.
Didn't the New York Giants do that before the draft? Like they fired their GM right before a draft or something 1 year?
I don't recall.
Right after a draft. Maybe someone in the chat can mention.
The football Giants?
Yeah, football Giants. That's why I said New York.
to get you there. Something before the draft. I can't. I'm going to look into it a little bit.
Because
Jerry Reese fired as Giants GM.
I think he was fired mid-season, Reese. Okay.
Yeah, no. Nah, or maybe it was the Jeff. No, I don't know. Whatever. Maybe I'm
and
making
they fired up. They fired Gettleman after the season.
And I think there was something that they did, and it was like, why would you do it then? Or they fired the GM and kept the coach or something. I don't know.
They've done shit like that, yeah. Because I can only go back to Corsi. I know Corsi retired. Reese got fired mid-season. And then Gettleman got fired after the season. And then now we're on Joe Shane.
Right? Shit. Well, Ethan Coleman just sent a super chat. It's just like a little dancing emoji. And says, let's celebrate their first super on a live stream. So thank you, Ethan. We celebrate you for contributing on our little super duper.
Okay. So I think that's why, like, yes, we all know in the narrative that I really want to do, not that I want to push any narrative, but like the overriding thought, I would love to see Brian Cashman not be the GM anymore. But I also have to be realistic in saying what is going to be better for the success of the team this year. And it's not firing the GM 2 weeks from the trade deadline.
No.
Who's going to do that? I mean, if you're firing Brian Cashman 2 weeks from the trade deadline, you might as well throw the towel in on the season, because Hal's going to make trades. Hal's going to call other GMs up.
Hello. I did download your number from the Cash app, from WhatsApp here. And I was just wondering how much it would take for me to take all of your players. Go. I'll give you the floor. Go ahead.
Whereas
he's not a negotiator, you think?
Yes, I will give you, we will look into maybe trading Jason Dominguez if you give us 1 year rental. Can we get a rental?
Whereas also, you got to look at contractually, Cashman's here at least another 2 years. I think he signed a 3-year deal, so he's here at least another 2 years, where Boone is done.
Yeah.
Boone is done after this year. Yeah, and I think that would send a greater message to the guys in that clubhouse than firing. I honestly think right now, today, sends a greater message to the guys in the clubhouse if Aaron Boone is fired. Because honestly, yes. Brian, how often do they actually come into contact with Brian Cashman?
Who knows? I probably
and,
not
and
often.
What would that really mean to them if Brian Cashman got fired?
Not much, because it's not that direct line where they're with him every single day.
Where they
day.
See Boone every single day. And they know that they'll know at that point the party is over.
And yeah, again, you're even seeing from like a guy like Rodon, like how he's been barking back at Boone. You wonder if that's something that's being put.
He's lost.
Look, dude,
he's lost the room.
It seems
plain
that
as
way.
Day. They don't. And somebody in the chat said this earlier. Derek Jeter called Joe Torre Mr. Torre or Mr. T. He always showed him that reverence. They don't fucking respect Boone like that.
No. Yeah, and I had the thought too. And there's in the chat, Retro Tony brought it up. Don Mattingly.
Well, he's under contract right now.
Hey, steal him over there.
I don't know.
What's a contract?
If you get him, let me know about it, breaking a contract, because I really want to be on air again.
Would Toronto let him go to the Yankees?
Probably not. It's me, Buck, here. Retro Tony also recommended here. He said he wants Judge to be player manager as well. I don't know about that.
I don't know if it could be worse.
Honestly, it wouldn't be worse.
Look, I don't think, like I said this last episode, do I think Brad Ausmus is a great manager? No, I don't. But also, it's something different. And at this point, can we please try different? Because this is clearly not working. Aaron Boone as manager is not working. And it almost doesn't matter what Brad Ausmus, and I'm just using him because he's the bench coach.
He's there.
It almost doesn't matter what he is as a manager. It's that you have done something to try to change what is happening to this team right now. I don't know if Brian Cashman is aware of the records that we read off earlier this year. I would hope so, that he know that he has an inkling that his teams start here and end here. But at the same time, man, like,
I'm better.
Give this team a different voice, okay? Brad Ausmus has been there since spring training, right? But what is he? I don't know what he's got himself into. What he does exactly? Maybe he's just been kind of laying in the weeds, and like Chris likes to say, you need an enemy in that room. Maybe he hasn't said much, and now he can be that enemy.
Something's got to change, bro.
Look, Shelly Duncan's a fucking madman. We've seen him here, right? We know what he is. He's the manager of AAA right now. Again, do I think Shelly Duncan is going to be Earl Weaver? No, but why not do something different right now? Why not try something? Because I'm telling you, and I swear to Christ, if we're sitting here, what is it? It's the middle of July. If we're sitting here, August, September, October, if we're sitting here 3.5, 4 months later, and Aaron Boone is holding up a fucking trophy on a parade, I will tell you that I'm the biggest dumbass in the entire world. I'll come on the show and I'll say that. But facts are facts right now. And Aaron Boone is a terrible manager. And as much as I want to sit here and have blind faith and just be a fan and hope that everything's going to work itself out, what has it with him as the manager?
What?
Worked itself out.
Right.
When has it worked itself out with Aaron Boone as the manager?
No, and how many years is this team at the top of the power rankings? And then, boom, in the blink of an eye, they go from the best to the worst. To go from the best to go on a 6-16 stretch, it's laughable that a team is even capable. It's almost impressive that they're this capable of being so such a bipolar franchise.
And I said this, I pray to God that Boston makes the mistake of letting Alex Cora go at the end of the year. I pray that that happens.
Yeah, a few people in the chat were even bringing up Cora's name, and you were definitely the first one I saw mention that, and I even was like, I don't know about that, but Cora does bring an atmosphere and into that clubhouse. I know someone was saying he said something about the All-Star, his speech in the locker room about All-Stars. Did you hear that one? I didn't.
Yeah, but he was very emotional when Durant got named to the All-Star team, because he really... Durant was really down on himself, and he was the guy in Durant's corner. Now you see what kind of player Durant has turned himself into.
Yeah,
and that's a difference. Alex Cora can do what Aaron Boone does in a sense of going along with the front office and agree and being very analytical and all that other jazz, right? Sure. But he also has a sense of accountability. His players play hard for him. Even if you look at 1-9 last night with Stan and all these other guys out, you can't honestly say that the Red Sox are more talented than the Yankees. But Alex Cora gets every last ounce out of his team. That's something that Aaron Boone doesn't do. Aaron Boone doesn't get every last ounce out of his team. I mean, you can just sit here and look after fact after fact after fact. It's like, convict this guy of murder, okay? Well, his DNA is there. He's got defensive wounds. He let, you know, the blah, 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 blah. You know, just sitting here, look at it all. His car was parked in the driveway.
It fits.
Right? All these things. How did you convict him? Boom, right? Why should Aaron Boone be fired? We spent the last hour just laying out the evidence of that. Yes, you want to say Brian Cashman is a larger problem at fault here. Yes, but that doesn't mean that Aaron Boone doesn't get charged and doesn't get convicted as well, because he is part of this crime, part of the crime against Yankee fans. Okay, he is part of this. You can't sit there and tell me with a straight face that he has done a good job. Because when I tweet and make videos and do everything that I've done over the weekend about fire Aaron Boone, and people are like, well, it's Cashman's fault, it's the player's fault, it's this, it's that. Yeah, okay, all these things can be true at the same time. Cashman, the time has probably passed Cashman by as being general manager. These players underachieve. You know, you're looking at guys like Verdugo and Volpe and LeMahieu and Trent Grisham are playing every day, and they got OPS plus is under 100. They're not even league average fucking players. Got it. Now make the case for Aaron Boone being a good manager. You can't, because he's not.
No. And he's not getting anything out of his players.
And that is the end all be all here, is that you can't sit there and look at Aaron Boone and say that he has done a good job as Yankees manager. Maybe he did up until a point. And I thought he had a really good stretch here up until they got punched in the mouth. And then now you've seen him regress and go back to this comatose, cuck, bubble blowing, nose picking loser that he's been since he's been here as Yankee manager. Okay.
Booty bubbles.
And that is why he has to go. Now, if you're going to ask me, do I think he's going to go? No, because Ryan, if the Yankees get swept on this road trip 0-6, I mean, what worse could possibly happen? He's still going to come back on July 19th and be in the dugout when the Yankees take on the Rays at home.
If that happens and he is still in the dugout, but it's not going to happen. They're going to go 4-2, like you said. We do have a super chat from Yanks fan 84. I was at the game last night too with my Fire Cashman shirt on and started a nice Fire Cashman chant. Sweet, dude.
Let's focus our energy in the game. Boone,
I heard that. I didn't appreciate it. I called security, and you will never step foot in Yankee Stadium again.
I really think we need to focus as a fan base. I think we really need to focus our energy on getting Aaron Boone out of here.
Especially right now, because like you said, it is not conducive to fire your general manager a couple weeks before the deadline. We kind of need him right now.
So what the Yankees could use is Gleyber Torres, and even a diminished Gleyber Torres is better than what they had been throwing out there. But again, he's hurt again. Okay. And, you know, smarter Yankees, right? Again, this is something we haven't said the entire season, and now we use it every episode again.
Oh, man, so true.
This guy has left two games now with the same injury, but they don't think they need to send him for medical imaging.
It's time to play smart or Yankees. What do you think?
So on Friday, he leaves the game with the groin again, and then doesn't play Saturday and Sunday, but they don't think they need to send him for medical imaging after he left a previous game and sat with the injury a couple of weeks ago. I mean, Jesus Christ almighty. Like, it's so, these are the little things that go beyond what they do on the field that just frustrates the living shit out of you. He clearly has an injury that is impacting him playing baseball, and you won't send him to get looked at.
Maybe they're trying to trade him and they don't want to reveal, any info to already damage his stock?
Ryan, he's worthless, though.
I know, man. I'm just always trying to find that.
He's absolutely
that glass.
Worthless, right?
You take
now.
The glass and you pour it with water and it's half full.
Okay.
But
I just don't know.
Evaporating.
I honestly just don't know what is left to be said right now, other than I'm going to turn. They're in Tampa. They have these weird 6:50 start times. So I'm just going to turn the TV on at 6:50. And just hope that this is it. Today is the day. And not even that. And then if they win tomorrow, then they win on Wednesday. And then that is the turning point. Because I thought Saturday was a day, and then they shit themselves offensively on Sunday. And I almost, like, my daughter is sitting next to me on Friday night. Clay Holmes is in the game, right? And I said this in the video in case anybody missed it. And like, I'm just, he gives up the home run to Yoshida, and I'm laughing. I'm laughing. And she looks at me and she goes, "Daddy, what's so funny?" Babe, nothing. Nothing. Daddy just doesn't know how to react to this anymore. I can't let my 4-year-old see me cry watching grown men play baseball, so I'm laughing like a maniac.
Man,
because that's the only reaction I can have to that situation.
It really is.
I don't want to let her see me at this stage of her life. I don't want her to see me have negative reactions to them playing. I don't want her to see like Chris, look. He throws the remote in front of Jack. Dude. I don't want to do that.
No,
in front of
I
her.
Hear
she's
you.
She's going to associate that with bad shit. I don't want to see her. She, we're going to another game. She's so excited about it. It's not till the end of August. She thinks that every day she goes, "Daddy, today we're going to Yankee Stadium." Like, I want her to have, I don't want her to see what this team has fucking done to me. I don't want her to see it.
Just you got to keep it
keep it under there until she's at
that's
an
why
age
she's
where
sitting,
she can get she can understand.
That's why she's
it.
Sitting next to me and Holmes gives up the home run and I'm just laughing.
Is that the talk? Just gotta let her like.
And am I a bad? And then at that point, am I a bad father?
Never.
And then I'm doing this to, like.
No.
This is this child abuse to force her to grow up to be a Yankee fan?
No, but is it to force a child to be a Mets fan? But we're tinkering there. Pretty much a New York sports fan the last decade has been torturous.
It's just insane because that was a wild stat after it was that who got eliminated second? It was the Rangers, right? The Rangers got eliminated after the Knicks.
Yeah, yes.
It was 100 consecutive seasons of the four major sports teams now where we have not gotten a title in New York. 100 consecutive seasons.
And let alone that, an appearance, right? An appearance. I'll take an appearance.
Actually, the Mets have made it to the World
Series.
Okay,
yeah. 2015. All right, so that's the
Rangers,
last.
The Rangers have gotten to the Cup Finals, and the Mets have made it to the World Series.
True.
In the meantime.
Okay, right.
Because the last title was the Giants in 2011.
Okay. Yeah, and Rangers lost the Stanley Cup in 2014.
And the Mets lost in 2015. 15. So we at least as a city here, we got two teams there.
Wow.
I remember.
And meanwhile, Boston sports are just absolutely dominating every single major outlet, which makes it even worse.
I remember back. I was like, I was really close in 2000. I was really close to pulling off the doubleheader there. Because the Giants got to the Super Bowl that year. They lost, but then the Yankees were in the middle of the three-peat.
Right. Yeah, Giants didn't want to take care of that.
So, hopefully the Yankees do take care of some business here, man. I mean, like I said, I just don't know, dude. I don't know what else to say anymore.
And it just sucks because even if they do turn a corner, aren't you just kind of defeated at this point that you're just waiting for the other shoe to drop? That it's
what
just
would
either going to turn around again and suck again.
The Yankees go. Let's say the Yankees go 4-2 in the All-Star break. Then they come home. They play the Rays and the Mets. They go. So that's actually four. That's another six games. They go 4-2 there. Now they're 8-4. They go on the road to Boston and Philly. They go 4-2 there. Now they're 12-6. Is that even? And that's not even really asking a lot. But is that even enough now to get? And that heads us, and that leads us to the end of July right there. They go 12-6 to close July. Like, is that even enough at that point to make you feel better about this team?
I need flesh. I need flesh or change. Some sort of roster move, obviously, that needs to be done. That's obvious. But something big's got to change, and it really's got to be a couple things before I'd even have that confidence. Of course, I'll still watch, like you said. But
we're still a couple weeks away from this, but the first day of my vacation is July 28th, and that's the trade deadline. I'm gonna lose my mind.
Yeah, let's hope your vacation starts off on a good note there. If, you know,
because you're about 2.5 hours from Wildwood, where you are, and you will be able to hear me screaming if they
can hear you.
They fuck that up, but we'll get there in due time. The Yankees start a series with the Rays on tomorrow night at 6:50. These are all 6:50 starts. Carlos Rodon against Pepiot. Okay, that's a fun name to say. Pepiot.
Okay.
Then you got Marcus Stroman against Eflin. And then to close out the series, it's Road Nestor against Baz.
Baz? Is it Baz or Baz?
It's Baz, I believe.
He's a good little pitcher over there.
And these are not your typical Rays. They're 44-46, but I mean,
They're the Rays.
These are a landslide. This is a landsliding Yankee team. So I mean, you never
the
know.
The landslide brought me.
So as we close it out here, please make sure you are subscribed to the NYYST podcast. We are available on your favorite podcast platform. Please subscribe. I said that already.
At the top of the show.
I did. No, but I just said it like literally 3 seconds ago.
Yeah, I forgot too. So what are you going to do?
Please leave us a 5-star rating and review on that podcast platform. It would help us out tremendously. We would appreciate it a lot. Please make sure you're telling everybody you know that the NYYST podcast is the official Yankee podcast of Odyssey. Also, make sure you are subscribed to NYY Underground, and let's get to 30K by the end of this race series. I think it's very deep.
See where right there. Here.
Let's do it. So
it's right in front of us. 30K is right in front of us. We're at 29.7K here. Subscribers, come on, help us out. Okay. We know what we're talking about here on the NYYU.
You gotta get a boon down. You gotta get a boon down. Here.
I've tried, and one day I did hear it, because that's what happens. I'll just keep doing it, and then something will click. And one day it did, but then I lost it.
Well,
Chris's isn't bad. You know, I just can't get there. It's very nasally.
I can do a Boone impersonation. I'm Aaron Boone. I suck.
Whoa. Is that Booney? Was that a sound clip or you?
And then that was me picking my nose and pulling a bubble too.
Yeah, and the bubble when he had the huge bubble and he popped it with his fucking gross hand.
He's a bum. All right, we want to thank you for your continued support of NYYU and NYYST. We want to thank you very much for listening and watching episode 403. SGR?
Go Yanks.
Peace!
Can't make a promise, but I do my best. 25 sitting on 25 racks. Just got started, no, we ain't done yet. Bought a new crib, that's a goddamn flex. Signed that check. Told him last year that I've been up next. Can't take calls, but I send that text. From way downtown, but it's...
In the fast-paced world of attacking, speed is everything. And that's where the Furon 7 Plus shines. Engineered for accuracy and precision at a rapid pace, it's your secret weapon on the pitch. Experience overall comfort and precise striking, even in the game's fastest moments. The nylon outsole, with its V-shaped stud configuration, is designed for firm ground, giving you the grip you need to outmaneuver your opponents. Step up your attacking game and learn more and purchase the Furon at newbalance.com.
It's better over here.
Now at T-Mobile, get 4 5G phones on us and 4 lines for $25 a line per month when you switch with eligible trade-ins. All on America's largest 5G network.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees and $10 device connection charge. Phones via 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. Bill credits end if you pay off devices early. See T-Mobile.com.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Now, with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Tip, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.